Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Listen, we know job one for a copywriter is getting and keeping attention, right? We always give that our best shot. But there are some situations where you need to do this more intensely. And you don't want to come across like a screaming insane person yelling loudly just to get attention. So we need to come up with some unusual techniques to increase the intensity without pushing our prospects away. And that's what today's show is about. I've found five unusual copy techniques that are especially helpful for cold traffic and introducing new products. And that's because I'm hearing a lot about cold traffic these days. And cold traffic means they don't know you, they might never heard of you, they certainly don't know your product. So these techniques, they're a bit exotic, and you'll find at least some of them extremely useful next time you write copy. But first, let me remind you that copy is powerful, and you're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. I decided to do this particular show, this particular set of high-powered exotic techniques, because it's getting harder and harder to get attention. And perhaps hardest of all when you or your product are unfamiliar to your prospect, namely when you're running cold traffic and or when you're introducing a new product. So I looked around and I found some exotic, high-powered copywriting techniques. And now, in addition to our usual disclaimer, I want to say at the outset that these are unusually powerful. And you should think twice if you're using these techniques for sleazy purposes. From India, we get the concept of karma. In the West, some people call this the law of the wheel. What goes around comes around. So don't use this for nefarious purposes. Eventually, nothing good comes from that. One more thing before we dive in. These techniques do not substitute for copywriting fundamentals. That is, you still need to have a good offer that people are interested in. You still need to prove what you say. You still need to have a clear call to action. And all the other regular rules apply. But these techniques are great for getting and holding attention. And they all have one thing in common. They use deep psychology to engage your reader. They are more heavy duty than most typical copywriting techniques. The first technique we'll talk about syncs up with the brain's tendencies to recognize patterns. The second technique leverages normal human curiosity in a supercharged way. The third technique creates tension and interest by creating cognitive dissonance, since the brain struggles to keep two opposites in awareness at the same time. The fourth technique literally rewires the reader's brain, at least for a short time. And the fifth technique piggybacks on the particular ways we as people like repetition. Most important, they help the reader better remember what we told them. That really matters when you're in the street fight competition of cold traffic or the difficult persuasion pace of having to sell a product that is brand new to your prospect. Because once your product becomes a little more familiar, it's a little less dangerous of a sales environment for you. And once prospects feel familiar with your offer, they're much more likely to buy what you're selling. Last, all these techniques try to make you feel something. They're designed to make you excited, curious, or hopeful. Of course, when you feel something, you're more likely to take the action the copy invites you to take. But as similar as they are still fundamentally different from each other. The first one focuses on strategic repetition throughout the piece. The second one structures all your copy as an exposé of insider information. The third technique organizes what you're saying around drastically different ideas. The fourth one has to do with phrasing And the fifth one focuses on a unique kind of structure found in nature. So they're all different from one another, even though the effects are pretty much the same, to engage a prospect under the toughest of circumstances.
All right, you've got me on the edge of my seat. I just want to jump into this.
All right, then let's start with number one, the Bader-Meinhof technique. This one's simple but powerful. Just mention your product multiple times, frequently throughout your copy, in ways that make sense in each case. Now, here's a little history behind this naming of this technique. In 1994, a man named Terry Mullen wrote a letter to the newspaper, the St. Paul Pioneer Press in Minnesota, where he mentioned that ever since he'd heard it mentioned for the first time, the name of a German terrorist organization, the Bader-Meinhof Group, seemed to be everywhere in his life. After this story was published, or letter rather, after this letter was published, a surprising number of other Pioneer Press readers reported the same thing happening. Terry Mullen had discovered a cognitive bias known as the frequency illusion, which was named 11 years after he sent his letter, and it was named by someone else. The frequency illusion is a term coined by Stanford professor Arnold Zwicky. Now, the Bader-Meinhof technique is not about German terrorists. It's about the universal human phenomenon where people notice something more frequently after being introduced to it and having it repeated multiple times. And this, of course, would be very helpful in copy where people have never heard of you or your product before. For example, if you're launching a new product, mention it by name early on in your copy. Then keep using the name in different places, more than you ordinarily would if you were talking to someone who is already familiar with it, or even if you're writing copy just to a much warmer market. When you use this technique, you could put the product name in sections about what the product does, how it helps people, what customers say about it, and where people can buy it. Think overkill. Use the name over and over again. Example, let's say you're launching a new smartwatch called Time Savant. You might start your product description like this. Introducing Time Savant, the smartwatch that puts you in control of your day. Time Savant's slim profile looks great on your wrist. You'll love how its powerful features keep you on track. Just listen to our customers. They all swear up and down that their Time Savant helps them manage their busy lives. Ready to take charge of your time? Get a Time Savant today. Yeah, I mentioned the product name Time Savant 4 times in 60 words. I'm sure you noticed. But for someone who's interested in the product itself rather than the technique we're talking about, they're just learning about Time Savant and getting used to its name. And they wouldn't see this as overkill. So what's going on here? How does this work? The Bader-Meinhof technique works because of how our brains process information. When we hear or read something multiple times, it becomes familiar. This familiarity makes it easier to remember. It's like when you hear a new song on the radio. At first, you might not know it, but after hearing it several times, you start humming along. And make no mistake, repetition is key. Each time you mention the name, you're creating another chance for it to stick in the reader's mind. But here's the thing. You can't just repeat the name randomly. That would sound weird and might annoy people. Instead, you weave it smoothly into different parts of your copy in ways that make sense. This way, people hear the name in various contexts, which helps them connect it to different features and benefits. And a couple tips. When you're doing this, keep these things in mind. First, don't overdo it. Use the name enough times to be memorable, but not so much that it feels forced. Second, make sure each time you mention the name, there's some benefit to the reader. Don't just throw it in there for the sake of repetition. This is a really powerful technique that has been around for centuries, though maybe not in as concentrated a form as we're talking about here.
I like that second point that you made. That's so powerful. And not to get political, but I remember George W. Bush saying one time, see, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to set in, to kind of catapult the propaganda. And that reminded me of that when you said that.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, it's true. I mean, whether you're trying to spew a lie or whether you're trying to get the truth to break through, repetition is key either way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to technique number two, the gossip formula. You structure your copy like you were whispering gossip to a friend. People are naturally curious when you write copy this way. You can start with phrases like, I shouldn't be telling you this, but, or here's what they don't want you to know. Mm. You make it sound like you're revealing a juicy secret. And here's an example of how to do this. Imagine you're writing a newsletter about healthy eating. You might start like this. I shouldn't tell you this, but my friend, who's a top chef, just shared a secret trick for making veggies taste amazing. Mm. It's so simple, but most cooking shows never mention it. Here's the deal. It's about how you cut the vegetables. Of course, the grocery stores and big food companies don't want you to know this because it might make you buy fewer of their pre-cut veggies. But trust me, once you try this method, you'll never go back to boring salads again. Boring salads? I mean, who wants boring salads, right? Now, the gossip technique works because it taps into our natural curiosity and our love for exclusive information. When we hear something that is a secret or insider knowledge, it makes us feel special. I think we're getting access to information, or we think we're getting access to information that others don't have. And truth be told, this feeling can be pretty exciting. The phrase, I shouldn't tell you this, is almost like a magic spell for grabbing attention. People lean in closer, eager to hear what comes next. It's the same feeling you get when a friend whispers, want to know a secret? Your brain automatically perks up. Mm. Now, as long as you don't overuse this, and as long as you really do provide some information they don't already know, and this is important, as long as you can make a plausible case that someone else would not want you to share this information, then this technique really works. But once again, you should use this trick wisely. Remember, information you're sharing needs to be actually valuable. Your secret should be something useful or interesting to your readers. If it's not, they might feel let down after all that buildup.
I remember, I'm not going to mention the marketer's name, but when I was a kid, there was an infomercial about secret cures they don't want you to know about. And in the infomercial, the guy actually gave away, hey, stop using antacid, use apple cider vinegar instead, and watch what happens. And so he gave away a little bit of proof that it worked, valuable information. And he also gave away a pretty good convincing argument as to why the pharmaceutical and the food companies don't want you knowing about simple food cures, simple diet adjustments that you can make to. And it ended up being one of the most popular, most successful promos of the time. Not mentioning the guy's name because he got in, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, some people use these things for nefarious deeds as well. And that was the case with this particular guy. But it's a great example. If anybody knows the infomercial, they know exactly what we're talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about. No, that is great. And it's a good point. In fact, I think his last name has a striking similarity to the Prime Minister of Canada.
Indeed.
Did you just cough?
No, I snorted, laughed.
Did you just snort? Okay. All right, let's go to technique number three. Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. Okay, let's go to technique number three, the dichotic effect. Now, first of all, this is called the dichotic effect, not the psychotic effect. Remember that. Dichotic literally means presenting different sounds to the right ear and the left ear. Mm-hmm. And in copy, this powerful technique means presenting contrasting ideas side by side to create cognitive dissonance, a sense of conflict and tension in the mind. Mm. Actually, this tension can make your solution more appealing. For example, struggling with weight loss? Imagine effortlessly shedding pounds while still gorging on your favorite foods. Now, I wouldn't use this unless you literally had a way to make it work, but it's a good example of the dichotic effect in action. One way to make your idea sound really good is to show it next to something not that great. This creates a feeling in people's minds that always makes your idea seem better. It's like showing a before and after picture. The after always looks amazing compared to the before. Let's say you have a new type of homework planner. You might write, "Tired of drooping eyelids as you stay up to finish late assignments? Picture getting all your homework done before dinner with plenty of time in the evening left for fun. With the Super Study Planner, you can turn stressful cramming sessions into relaxed, productive study time." So how does this work? In the example, I've set up a comparison between the stress of late night studying and the idea of finishing homework early and having free time to have fun. Most people would prefer the second option, making the planner seem like a great solution. Basically, the brain processes a lot of the information it gets by comparing contrasts. When we see two different ideas side by side, we can't help compare them. It's kind of like our brain is playing a game of spot the difference. When you set up a comparison this way, it makes the better option stand out even more. Again, what we're talking about here is this cognitive dissonance. It's a feeling of discomfort we get when we have two conflicting ideas in our head at the same time. The discomfort caused by this conflict makes us want to resolve. And the go-to move in a situation like this is to choose the option that seems more appealing. So one tip with this is to use vivid visual language as much as you can, because that helps people picture both scenarios in their minds.
One thing that I'm going to add to this is rubbing a little bit of salt in the wound. A lot of times, if you've got the one horrible thing on one side and the one awesome thing on the other side, but you're in the middle of the road and that's where your come from is at, the awesome thing on the one side looks okay, but if you can really rub some salt in that wound, really paint a vivid picture of how bad things can get. Yeah, it's a minor inconvenience right now, but here's how bad things can get if you don't do something about it, and then compare the opposite thing, then that opposite thing is much more appealing once they've been able to see it from how bad things can get rather than where they're currently at.
Yeah, I like that. In other words, accentuate the contrast, make it as stark as possible. That's great. Thank you. All right, let's do technique number four, sensory binding. This technique takes intense sensory experiences created solely by words even further. It ties together different senses in a short description. I'll give you a couple of slightly over-the-top examples. Taste the beauty of financial freedom, or feel the smooth texture of effortless productivity. You can see how the senses are a little mixed up there on purpose. So when you really want to grab attention and stop a scrolling prospect in their tracks, this is the way to do it. Again, mix up different senses in a description, then use words that might normally apply to one sense to describe another. For example, you might talk about tasting a color or feeling a sound. It does need to make sense with your overall message, though, so you have to keep experimenting until you find something that doesn't seem too bizarre. Let's say you're writing about some high-quality noise-canceling headphones. You could use sensory binding this way. Experience the velvety silence of our noise-away headphones. With these on, you'll hear the sweetness of your favorite music without any sour interruptions from the outside world. feel the warm embrace of crystal clear sound wrapping around you. It doesn't come across as too jarring with musical descriptions because we already use words from other senses to describe music: sweet, bumpy, hot, or in the case of the music Nathan used to perform, smoking. Even with music, though, this technique wakes up our brains in a unique way. Usually we keep our senses separate. We see colors, hear sounds, feel textures. But when we mix these up in language, it creates a kind of appealing, usually, but unfamiliar feeling that grabs our attention. And when this kind of thing occurs in people's brains, it's called synesthesia. Now, there are people in life who process things like this naturally. They might attribute sounds to a number or colors to tastes. Most people don't experience the world this way, though. And that's why this kind of sensory binding works so well in getting people's attention. When we hear it, our brains end up working a little harder to understand what we're hearing, what's being said. And this makes the description more memorable and impactful. It can make ordinary things seem more exciting or help explain complex ideas in a fresh way. Remember, the goal is to create a combination of sensory experiences in the reader's mind that's both clear and interesting. If you can do that, you're definitely on the right track.
Okay, we don't give praise to giant corporate advertising very often on this show, but Skittles Taste the Rainbow is the perfect example of this. And the first time I heard it, I tasted all the Skittles. Like, I was like able to imagine tasting all the Skittles flavors. So I think that that's a perfect example of when this is done right.
Thank you. And I'm so glad the example you didn't, I was afraid you were going to bring up the example of the emu, and I just.
Not the evil emu.
We don't like that. Okay. Technique number 5, fractal copywriting. A fractal is a structure where the component parts are like the whole. The way you use this technique is to repeat your main message, probably the USP or at least a strong benefit, different scales throughout your copy. It's an interesting repetition technique. So in nature, snowflakes are a remarkable example of fractals. As a snowflake grows and branches out, each arm represents the same basic shape as the overall crystal. And you can do this in your writing too. You start with your main message, then repeat it in different ways, different sizes, different scales throughout your text. Each part of your writing becomes a smaller version of the whole thing. So here's an example. We've got an imaginary AI-assisted exercise bike called the Ride Genius. This example demonstrates how the main message of AI-powered personalization for fitness transformation is repeated at different scales throughout the copy. And here comes the copy. Ride Genius's cutting-edge AI technology creates a personalized fitness experience like no other with bullet point, adaptive resistance, bullet point, real-time form correction, bullet point, personalized workout plans, bullet point, progress tracking and motivation. Subhead, adaptive resistance that grows with you. Feel the perfect challenge every time. Ride Genius's AI adjusts resistance in real time, ensuring that your workout is always optimized for your current fitness level and goals. Subhead, get to your form just right to maximize your results. Ride smarter, not harder. Our AI-powered sensors analyze your form, providing instant feedback to help you achieve the most effective workout possible. Subhead, it's like having your personal AI fitness coach right next to you. Never plateau again. Ride Genius's AI creates and adjusts your workout plan based on your progress, keeping you constantly challenged and motivated. Subhead, track, analyze, succeed. Watch your fitness soar. Our AI analyzes your performance data, offering insights and motivation to keep you pedaling towards your goals. Okay, dizzying. The fractal structure is evident in the following ways. The main headline introduces the core concept of AI-powered transformation. Each subhead reinforces the idea of personalization and results. And each feature section, the parts under each subhead, adaptive resistance, form correction, personalized plans, progress tracking, echoes the same central theme of AI-driven personalization. So structuring it this way lets you reinforce the main message throughout the copy. And this technique works because it taps into how our brains naturally process and remember information. When we see a pattern repeated, it becomes more familiar and easier to understand. This unique kind of upscaling and downscaling repetition reinforces your main message without being boring. Because each time you repeat the idea, you're looking at it from a slightly different angle or at a slightly different scale. The fractal technique can be really effective for explaining complex ideas or for copy. It helps readers see the big picture while also understanding how it applies to smaller, more specific situations.
Okay, so first of all, as above, so below, and I'll leave it at that. Second of all, I like this because this is a twist on the idea of a golden thread or like a big idea where you find a core benefit, which would be the AI being able to deliver like maximized results from your workout. You find that core benefit and then you weave it throughout the whole piece. And the good thing about that is it pulls everything together and really sells that main idea, that core benefit. And it's a little bit more of an advanced technique, and the way that you did it here even adds a little bit more complexity to the typical approach to a golden thread or a big idea. But man, that is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think of the right way to describe how it kind of, your brain absorbs it in a profound way. I'll just put it that way.
And just a side note, if anybody's listening, since we're at the end of the show, I would look up fractals and you can see a visual representation of this and it'll add an extra layer of understanding to what David just did there.
All right. That's a great suggestion. So we've got five techniques for our recap. One, the Bader-Meinhof technique. Two, the gossip format. Three, the dichotic effect. Four, sensory binding. And five, fractal copywriting.
Nice. Okay, you know what? I'm going to just add at the very end of this, we talked about sometimes the effectiveness of saying, hey, this is secret information. Don't let this get out. And we also did that at the beginning of the show. So we practice what we preach here at the Copywriters Podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would highly recommend going over to copywriterspodcast.com, checking out more episodes over there. And while you're there and you're listening on your favorite podcast app, give us a like, give us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.